It's time to recap McCook City Council meeting number one for the month of June. City Manager Nate Schneider, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing good. Councilman Gene Wheaton, don't you think? You know, football's playing in the mud and rain, isn't it?
Well, we play baseball in the rain, too.
Exactly right. Come on. Mom and dads won't mind.
The kids might prefer. It's kind of fun to play in the rain.
There we go. Exactly right. No, I better not say anything else. Joe be calling me. I was like, wait, come on. But no, they'll try that again Wednesday and again on Thursday. All right, council meeting number one for the month of June, guys. Well, let's get right to the agenda. Anything on announcements and recognitions?
Yeah, Pat Flauber gave us an update on the West 5th Street project. Basically, that street's been closed for about, 2 weeks now, and we're doing we're putting new water lines underneath there. And so he just gave us an update about what was going on, and I believe it's to the 16th of June, I think, is when if there's been some delays with the weather, of course, this might delay us and getting supply. So if that happens, then the company that's doing the project will come back to the city council, and then we'll have to approve a delay, and then we'll announce it to the public that it's going to be delayed. But hopefully by the 16th of June, we'll reopen that street. And then also there's a planning commission meeting coming up. There's a request for TIF money, and then also we're redoing our zoning updates. And so if you want to be informed about what's going to happen with zoning, please come to that meeting. And then Nate also wanted to just thank the city staff for the opening of the swimming pool. It opened up Friday, full season. We got a full staff. We got over 40 people, lifeguards and basket people, and we've got some great managers. And so Nate mentioned a whole bunch of people. I didn't get them all down, but he maybe can mention them. But we just want to thank the city staff for opening the pool, and we look forward to it. I think the YMCA are now doing swim lessons in the morning, and we're off and running, and it's a great, great feature for the city of McCook to have.
Just can't get Mother Nature to cooperate, can you?
Yeah, no, it was scheduled to be open this last Tuesday, but I'm actually kind of grateful that we had the weather that we had, because there were a lot of things that we needed to work through. I know it was kind of an inconvenience, but from a timing perspective, it allowed us to kind of figure out how we wanted to do the family passes, and we just kind of basically did a paper form. We tried to do it electronically this year, and it just didn't work. But city staff, they did a great job of trying to get something set up, and I know it's not perfect, but it's pretty darn good considering just the volume that we're seeing right now. And it's great. I mean, I don't know if people have gone up and taken a look at how many people have been up at the swimming pool.
Good numbers.
Oh, my gosh. It's insane. Yesterday was absolutely crazy.
90 degrees yesterday.
It was a perfect day for it.
Perfect,
And boiler's up and going. It's working. That was kind of one of the things we were waiting on. A couple of things at Carruthers had to get finished, some electrical stuff, some important things that needed to be finalized before we opened it up this year. But I really want to give a lot of credit to Tracy Berkey. She has been instrumental in getting all the behind the scene things completed. She's kind of taken the bull by the horns and accepted responsibility for this, and I can't say enough good things about the hard work that she's put into this. She's the jack of all trades. She's our IT person. She's doing the swimming pool stuff. She is our cemetery plot person. So as assistant deputy city clerk, or the deputy city clerk, she gets to wear a lot of hats, and she never complains. She just figures out a way to do it, and we appreciate that about her. So a lot of other people too, but I really want to give Tracy a shout out, because she has done a phenomenal job this year. She's great.
Folks on the pools information, they want more information, just the city website has all that stuff, right?
Yeah, website. I think we got a Facebook post. Feel free to come on down to the city. I know we're taking payments over at the swimming pool too. Probably a little bit easier if you make the payments at the city, so it doesn't congest the front desk area. There was a huge line yesterday. Yeah. I drove by there around 1:30 or 2. I can't remember what time it was, and the line was all the way out to the street. Mr. Bill was extremely busy yesterday.
I
couldn't
believe
how many people were standing in line in front of Mr. Bill. So it's just cool to see. Great amenity. Glad people are using it. I think the sound of kids having fun and laughing It was something that we missed while we were constructing this and trying to plan for this project. So it's a great thing for the city, and we're excited to have it.
Might be a day or so. Today might be one of those days. I don't. It might not open.
Probably not. No, probably not. But there's a lot of other days this summer.
So, plenty of summer left.
Yes, I think people are going to get plenty of swimming pool time. So that's fun.
And it's good. It's cool that the Y can go over there in the morning with what they're going through right now.
Yeah, and we appreciated when the YMCA worked with us. We've got a great relationship with the YMCA. And reciprocal, in our helping one another. When we were building, when we were having issues trying to figure out how to get everything up and running, the YMCA allowed for swimming for the public at their facility. Didn't have to do it, but they worked with us on that, and we really appreciate Mitch and his staff over there, and we want to do the same thing for them while they're doing their project. So great relationship with them.
We'll move on to the consent agenda. Anything pulled for discussion?
Yeah, I pulled item G, which is a request from the Wagners to close part of West 1st Street the 28th. That'd be a Saturday from noon till 3 o'clock. They want to do a photo opportunities for the car show, for the cruise and cruise night. In front of the mural, so the winners of the different categories would be take their photograph in front of theirs. Basically, Ashley and Tricia have come to the meetings a couple weeks. The last meeting we did the closing of the streets, and so I just wanted to thank them for what they've done. This is an awesome. This is the 9th annual cruise night. It's the Wagners have done a great job. I appreciate it, and I just wanted to say thank you to them because this brings a lot of people in. That weekend, if you don't realize it, that is going to be a busy weekend coming up because there's a lot of things going on, and so that's why I pulled it just for that basic reason.
And I take it one of the other item B was, of course, the a certain person at Chamber of Commerce who is gearing up for that for Heritage Day. She's thinking about it already, isn't she?
Yeah, she doesn't mess around. She wanted to make sure that she got everything in front of the city council as fast as she could. So it's just right around the corner. Before you know it, we're going to be back into the school year in the fall. And so Heritage Days is being planned right now. And we could talk a little bit more. She was here yesterday, kind of talking about some of the things that the city or that the chamber has been doing and some of the projects they have coming up. And obviously Heritage Days is one of them. One thing I wanted to point out, probably the biggest item on the consent agenda, the award of the contract for construction for the new self-service Jet A and 100 low lead fuel facility. We awarded that to Hackle Construction. The amount of the bid from Hackle was $1,234,000, which was under the engineer's estimate, so that's always nice. This is huge for us to be able to provide self-service stations out at the airport. It's going to take away some of the concerns that we've had over the years, whether it was staffing through the FBO, other issues that could potentially arise. To have that out there, I think it's going to make McCook a very attractive airport for pilots, especially with 100 low lead. And so we're looking forward for that project to move forward. We appreciate all the work that W Design has done on that. We actually had to go back to the drawing board because we thought that we had an approved schematic. Then we were informed by the FAA that they had a couple of concerns. So Greg basically said, I'm going to go ahead and expedite this. We're going to go ahead and turn this around as fast as possible. I also want to make sure that I give a lot of credit to the Airport Advisory Commission because they have been turning on a dime with us with all the projects that we have going on, and this is probably one of the lead projects that we're working on right now. But we had several meetings out there at the airport regarding locations, what this would look like, what the preferences were. And ultimately, like I said, this makes our airport that much more competitive for pilots that are wanting to come in and fuel. So it's huge for the airport. We've been talking about this for years. And I'll talk about kind of some of the other things because we did an update on the airport just because there's so many things happening right now during the regular agenda. That's huge. This is huge for McCook. It's huge for the airport. That airport is a huge economic development driver. It brings a lot of money into McCook. It connects us to the rest of the world. And so being able to have that self-service fueling station is going to be a game changer out there.
All right. Anything else to consent agenda?
No, that was it.
Regular agenda approval requests Rhonda Graff, the local Tour Nebraska committee, along with Tour Nebraska staff, to use Kelly Park and to suspend the park curfew to allow for some camping on Friday, June 27th through Sunday the 29th.
Right, the 27th and 28th, there's going to be, what, between 400 and 500 different bike riders coming to McCook. I think they start in Curtis and go to Elwood, and then they come back through Cambridge to McCook and then back to Curtis, I think, believe. So they're going to use the Graff Event Center, and then also Rhonda was requesting that they be able to use Kelly Park to camp, and then also she was just asking us that we suspend the curfew, so the camping, so we did that last night. So, again, like I said, it's the 27th and 28th. A lot of people going to be in town. It's going to be a great weekend. If you can't complain that there's nothing to do in McCook that weekend, the 27th and 28th. So
I tell you, June is just packed. Every weekend there's something going on.
Yeah.
Receive and put on file a renewed request from the Chamber of Commerce for ACE funds to assist with the City of McCook's event promotions.
Yeah, Sarah Snyder came last night again and just requested that we give them $6,000, and it comes from the ACE funds. We've done this in the past, and then she will use that money then for advertising for all the events, the Heritage Days, Christmas, you know, on the Norris, etc. So this will come up in the budget season. We didn't approve it last night. It's just basically when we do the budget coming up later this fall, that'll be one of the items that we will either approve or not approve. And I don't see why we wouldn't, because we've used it in the past. We've used ACE funds, etc. So,
and it brings people to McCook. You know, that's the big thing. The ACE funds aren't tax dollars. Those are the proceeds that we receive from ACE for natural gas use here in McCook. I think that Gene, he's on their board, he told us that McCook is the third highest recipient as far as proceeds this past year from ACE. So it's really important that people understand that when we do the gas choice selection, the reason why we push ACE so hard is because they put money back into the community for community betterment projects. And one of them that the city council has devoted money to is making sure that we get the word out as far as what's going on in McCook. And like you said, there's so many events. But Sarah wanted to make sure that she went through the list of events that the advertisement dollars that are ACE dollars go to. So you've got the Bash on the Bricks on June 28th, like we've talked about. Family Fun on the Bricks, which is Crazy Days. That's on July 17th. Heritage Days, we just talked about that. That's September 17th through the 20th. Noel on Norris, December 6th and December 14th will be when they have the showing of the Polar Express over at the Fox Theater. And all those things, you know, are within a six-month period of time, you know. And so there's a lot of stuff that we try to make sure that we offer to improve quality of life, to bring people here to McCook. Those ACE dollars go to make sure that people, not just in McCook, but around the area, know what's going on. If anybody's ever been down to Noel on Norris and seen that parade, yeah, I know that KICX mm-hmm. is the lead on that. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger every year. You know, in this past year, I couldn't believe how many people, you know, were, you know, across Norris and watching that, and additional floats and stuff like that. It's just getting bigger all the mm-hmm. time. And Heritage Days, we all know what that means for the city of McCook, and Crazy Days for the retailers. One of the things that Sarah had mentioned was that there is a going to be a change in the way that the B Street is blocked off, so that way there's going to be open space for people to walk around, and a farmer's market and other vendors potentially down there to attract more people downtown for that. And then, of course, Bash on the Bricks is always a blast. And the plan is to kind of meld what we did out at the golf course and what's going on downtown, so that way everybody is there. Because last year when they did the Bash on the Hill, people sometimes had to choose between whether they were going to watch the cars or they were going to go to the Bash on the Hills. Well, they're going to have this on C Street, so now you're going to have the band and the food and the beverages and the cars. They're all going to be in one location. So lots of work. I see what my wife does, and I just think, I don't know how in the world you do it. It makes me feel like I'm lazy. So, lots of cool things going on. The other thing she pointed out was the app. And there are a lot of people now that are downloading the app just to kind of get updates, not just with what's going on with the chamber, but what's going on around the community. It's got services. It's got a little bit of everything on there. So if you ever want to know what's going on in McCook, look up the chamber app. And she showed us a chart of people that are using the app and how many people are looking at different things, what they're really interested in, which is a great tool. So that way people can look at that and say, okay, this is maybe how I market my goods to make sure that I draw people into my store, or whatever the case may be. It's a good thing. We've got a great partnership with the chamber. No tax dollars, which I always appreciate, I appreciate the fact that the council is willing to go ahead and put those ACE funds towards it, because I think it is an important thing for our community.
This year, we got back over $20,000 from ACE. This is the highest amount of money we've ever gotten back. So, and like I argue with people, is that ACE is the only supplier of natural gas that gives back to the community every year. We at the end of the year, we're a nonprofit organization. Whatever the profit is, we divide it up among. We have 75 communities. We divide it up among the 75 communities, and we gave over $400,000 back this year to the 75 communities. So we've gotten well over, $224,000 in the years that we have been a member since 1998, I think, the city of McCook. And we have benefited. I mean, you can go through the list of the projects that we've used ACE funds for, and it's all been community projects. We've made this community of McCook much better because of the ACE funds. And so, I would just encourage people, next year when it's the selection period, yeah, look at ACE. Yeah, the price may be a little higher than the other ones, but we give back to the community. So,
and I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to Gene, serving on the board and really kind of polling for people to choose ACE. I think that it's important that people realize that this is a revenue source that's not coming out of the property tax bucket or sales tax bucket. Not fees, not anything like that. You're going to be paying for natural gas one way or the other, and this is something that actually benefits our community. So we appreciate Gene's efforts.
Update regarding the sports complex project.
Let me put on my glasses. It's not fun getting older. As always, we kind of went through our list of what we've been working on over the past couple of weeks to keep the public informed of what's going on out at the ballpark. Probably the thing that we've been working on the most is the Doherty Foundation grant. And yesterday, the council approved the city applying for a Doherty Foundation grant. That's one of the prerequisites. We will be applying for that grant in the short term. We actually met with Jessica Bortner yesterday. She's our grant writer to kind of work through some of those things. Tara Cutter has done a phenomenal job kind of helping us at the city level piece everything together. It's a huge, huge grant application, and we're going to ask for a significant sum because we think that this is a project that's worthy of a large Doherty Foundation grant. But our plan is to try to get that in the short term. We have another large grant that we're getting additional information out for right now. My understanding is that group is going to be meeting on June 9th. And so I want to try to get the pro forma to them. That's one of the things we've been working on over the past couple of weeks, is just shoring up that pro forma. So that way all the numbers match up. They all make sense. They're tailored to kind of how we envision us running the sports complex facility. So that should be done relatively shortly. We got a meeting tomorrow afternoon, I think, to talk with the sports feasibility companies. They're the ones that are doing the pro forma. And Mammoth, just to make sure both entities know that the numbers are the correct numbers, and I don't want to send grant applications out and the numbers not match up with what we're saying in our application. And then we met with Mike Rogers, he's our bond counsel, and Paul Grieger, he's our bond underwriter with DA Davidson. Just kind of work through funding and timing again. We're going to have a large comprehensive meeting with all the different players and all the different facets of the project here in the near future, to make sure that we've got the timing down, to make sure that we all know what our responsibilities are. So you'll have, I think, two bond underwriters, one financial advisor, one bond council member, multiple engineers, constructors, sports feasibility people and city staff, we're all going to get together and make sure that we're all on the same page, because that August deadline that we've got set for ourselves to have the bond anticipation note issuance is coming up pretty fast. And so there are a lot of things that we need to do. I need to get some stuff out today from the preliminary official statement just to make a couple of changes to make sure that it's 100% accurate. There are a couple small things in there that just need to be updated. So that meeting will be coming up here in the short term. We meet with Mammoth on a weekly basis just to kind of go through where they're at, and they get our thoughts on different things. We've really been kind of looking not just at the horizontal construction, all the fields, but now we're looking at the building construction, the concession stand construction. So we had Barry and Kyle and Pat as part of the conversation this past Thursday. And we just went through the building again. We talked about water. We talked about sewer, locations of things to make sure that we've got all of our bases covered and that we're not forgetting something, because this is a big deal. And I don't want to have to go back in after the fact and make alterations because we forgot to do something right off the bat. So, and we'll continue to meet with Mammoth. The other thing, we had a good conversation with Chris Miller of Miller & Associates. We kind of talked about the timing of the bid for water, street, sewer, storm sewer. And we're looking at sometime in July for that. We're hoping to try to build out not just a street and sewer to the ballpark. We're also trying to build out the lots that are going to be dedicated for commercial purposes, the lots that are going to be dedicated for mixed family uses, multifamily uses, other uses. We want to make sure that we get all those things done all at the same time, because that's what's going to make those lots attractive. If there's some way that we can get everything built out and on the market for sale, you're going to see a lot of different entities, developers that are going to say, hey, I'm coming to McCook because they're ready to go right now. A lot of people just want that shovel-ready project, and we're going to try to get that for them as best we possibly can. So lots of things going on with the sports complex. The rain has been very helpful as far as trying to keep the dirt down. We appreciate the fact that we're getting a little bit of rain. I also saw we had some complaints, and Mammoth has been trying to water the dirt out there as much as possible. But if anybody's had a chance to take a look at it, you got to take a look at how flat that is. I know you guys can see it mm-hmm. from here, but you got to see they're moving 4,500 to 5,000 tons of dirt a day, and that pile is massive. And if you look at it, it is almost flat as a pancake. And they're going to come back in. They're going to put clay in there. They're going to tamp it down. There'll be some additional dirt that they'll go ahead and restore. And then you've got your rocks, and then you're going to have – that'll be your subsurface, and then you're going to have your turf. So it's really moving along pretty fast. The plan is to have all the earthwork done, I think, in the next month, and then we're going to start the building of the fields. Mm-hmm. So here in July, you're probably going to start seeing the fields going up. So that's going to be really exciting.
So folks got a pretty good view just going.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Well, you can't hardly see it from Q Street. You almost have to go behind Samways and MPPD really to see what they're doing. I'm sure that probably Darren's getting some looky-loos going past his building. But it's pretty cool to see what those guys are doing. And they're just constantly out there. They work like bees. I just can't get over how much work and how fast they move. So it's awesome.
Pretty experienced people at doing it.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Next up, update regarding the McCook Ben Nelson Regional Airport.
Yeah, Kyle Potthoff gave us an update on a lot of the changes that are going on right now. Our airport is, because we have commercial air service, we are regulated under what we call Part 139. And Kyle talked about recently we've had some inspections from the federal government. They went well. There was a few corrections we need to make done. But basically, Kyle just said that things are changing out there. We're updating, but he just wanted to recommend that, you know, Kenny Vance is the one that's responsible. Kenny Vance has been an awesome job out there and been responsible for a lot of the changes and improvements made to the airport. So, we also talked about, because we're a Part 139, we have to have an ARF truck, which is a fire truck that sits out there that can, if we have a plane crash, etc. So we're looking at buying a new one. The one we have right now, I think, is a 1996, And so we're looking at one. Well, we have a contract with the company to have one built, but because of delays, it hasn't even started to be built then. So now we're looking at maybe a smaller version of one that maybe won't be as much as expensive as the one originally we looked at. But we have to have that D-139.
They were supposed to have that to us in March, and we have not heard anything back. So we're in the process of examining our options, and if they can do it, fine. But it's got to be done, and they got to communicate with us, and that's not been done so far. So we're going to hold their feet to the fire.
Okay. Also, I want to just compliment Kyle Potta, because Nate is the airport manager, but he's turned basically all the over to Kyle, and Kyle does it all. And just Kyle spends a lot of time and puts a lot of effort into it, and has done a wonderful job. And I just want to thank him for what he's done, because as Nate has said earlier, it's an economic boom for the community to have air service to the city, and we need the airport. And so in order to have the service, we have to follow government regulations, and so there are certain things we have to do.
And we also updated the council on the Red Willow Aviation bankruptcy matter, kind of working towards a solution or a resolution. Ultimately, the city would like to own all the buildings up there. Currently, it appears that everything is owned by the FBO. I say appears because it's kind of an odd setup. We own all the land out there. The buildings, if you were to click on that property, it doesn't show that it's owned by Red Willow Aviation, but a lot of them were constructed. I know, like, the large hangar was constructed over the course of a period of time by Red Willow Aviation. We would like to get possession of that so we never have another situation like what we had with Red Willow Aviation here this past year when they filed for bankruptcy. We can control terms. We can make sure that the FBO is doing what they say they're going to do. We can work with the FBO maybe a little bit closer and have a better understanding of where they're at. So it makes sense for us to do that. So we're working on coming up with a resolution. The other thing that's really exciting is we've got the airport layout plan and the master plan that was just completed. And that took 4 years to finish that. We originally thought it was going to be 18 months. It was right in the middle of COVID when we started working on that. And I'm sure that probably slowed it down to a degree. But also, there's always just a lot of extra work that goes on when you're dealing with the FAA and the federal government. They've been great to work with, but there's just a lot of things that they've got on their plate, and they've got a lot of entities that are doing the same thing. But the reason why the layout plan and the master plan are so important is, just like our zoning regulations, our comprehensive plan, subdivision regulations, it provides the guidelines for us to develop the airport. And so without that, we're not going to receive federal funding, which without federal funding, that airport doesn't exist. They fund most of the projects out there to the tune of 90%. We fund it at 10%, usually using our sales tax dollars. But without having the airport layout plan and master plan in place, we don't get federal dollars. And so it had been 1995 the last time that we had done one. So we've been updating it for the past 3 to 4 years. And we're finally done. I got the signed plans back from the feds. I think it was last week. It came in the mail. We have, and they've been awesome to work with for the, we were talking about the self-service fueling stations. They allowed us to move that to the forefront because of the Red Willow Aviation bankruptcy case. So that typically wouldn't happen because you've got to do your non-revenue producing projects first. So there's some zoning things, displacement issues. We've got some lighting and some painting and some things that we need to take care of. But this plan is going to give us the ability to expand the airport, whether it's hangars, whether it's a new terminal, you know, whether it's new taxiways, you know, whatever the case may be. We have to have this in order to make sure that we can do those things moving on into the future. So I'm glad to have that one done. A lot of work. I really appreciate what W Design did on this and what Garver did on this. They did a fantastic job. They were trying to push this as fast as they could, but again, when you're dealing with the Fed, sometimes it's a little slow.
Next up, discussion regarding a potential ordinance establishing an occupation tax for mobile phones and amending the current occupation tax on all telephone services.
Okay, currently right now, we have an occupation tax on landline at 1.5%, and there's no tax on cell phones. So we're looking at, city staff brought it to the council's attention, and they've done some research, and they went out and looked at other first-class cities of Nebraska, like Columbus, Fremont, Norfolk, York, Holdridge, I think North Platte you looked at. What do they charge on cell phones? And basically, they came up with, well, state law now says that we can go to 4%. So the city staff is looking at saying, okay, should we, to be equal, if we're charging landline but we're not charging cell phone, is that fair? So we're looking at charging landline and cell phone the same occupation tax. It's, again, it's a source of revenue. The state legislature keeps taking away our sources of revenue. 2 years ago, they took away our ability to collect sales tax on water for the city of McCook. That was over $100,000 we lost in revenue. So either we have to find either ways to make up that revenue, or we have to start looking at either cutting services or cutting personnel, and we don't want to do that because there are essential services that the citizens of McCook depend on, and we want to provide those at the cheapest price. And so we're looking at that. So basically, we just told the council or the city staff, bring this back as an ordinance, and we'll look at it again at the next meeting.
Okay. Can I consider an ordinance many in the city of McCook Code of Ordinances entitled Animals Running at Large Penalties?
Yeah, this is Nate Mustian. This is a Nate Mustian special here, and he started this conversation yesterday by saying he might have reached the low of his legal career by having to prosecute cats at large, and I had to prosecute a cat at large case at one point in time, and it's funny, you don't even really I when we put that in the ordinance, I kind of thought, oh yeah, no one's ever going to write a ticket for cat at large. Well, it happens occasionally, and the problem was there wasn't a specific penalty provision for cat at large cases. So Nate said, hey, we need to make sure that we've got a specific penalty provision for that. And so that's all this ordinance does, is it actually provides for a penalty. I can't say that I saw more than one cat at large. Nate's been the city attorney now for 10 or 11 years. I think that this is his first cat at large. It's not a huge issue, but when these things pop up, we need to be able to tell the judge, hey, this is what the penalty is for it, and for whatever reason, it wasn't in there. So now we've got a cat at large penalty.
There you go.
Yay.
How about that?
Yeah, we suspended the reading of three readings for this and did it on one. So now this is an ordinance now. So in other words, okay, if I have a cat and it's running and I get a ticket, I don't have to appear in court. And Nate wouldn't have to also appear in court. I could just pay the fine. So
yeah, it's a waiverable ticket.
It makes it much easier. So we did that last night. So
I tell you what, the things that you don't even think about, I never even really thought about. And I'm not saying there aren't cat at larges, but usually they're feral cats that don't have owners. And so, it's good to at least get that. Every time that we see something that needs to be addressed or maybe a shortcoming in the ordinance, I appreciate when Nate comes to me and says, hey, we need to make sure that we add a provision A, B, C, or D, so that way when he goes to court, he's not left hanging. And so he does a good job of telling us. And like I said, it makes me laugh because I've gone through the same thing. And so I'm not trying to degrade the ordinance itself. It's funny because you just don't really even think about a cat at large kind of case. But those are the kind of things that sometimes pop up when you're city attorney. Judge Payne used to always tell me there's a special place in heaven for city attorneys. So I think that might be true, hopefully.
Last but not least, council comments, anything?
There was nothing.
Wow. That was, but you still had you had the discussion on a lot of stuff last night.
Yeah, we wanted to bring stuff to the council and to the public so they knew what was going on. I get a lot of questions about the airport, a lot of questions about the ballpark. We're going to bring a wastewater treatment plant discussion to the next council meeting. We're working on the design for that. We're still planning on constructing in 2026. I don't know what the exact date will be. But there's just a lot of projects we have going on, and so we want to try to keep everybody as informed as possible.
Next council meeting will be coming up in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Planning Commission.
Yep, Planning Commission next week, next Monday.